flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, you said that there was a pitcher who was signed for, and we say in baseball terms, little of nothing, and you wonder why the Braves were not in on this. Let's talk about this for a second. Who are we talking about, Turtle?
Yeah, so a guy that was traded in the middle of last year went to a team that, won the World Series and started game one for them. That was Jack Flaherty. Mm. And he was made available this offseason for 2 years and $35 million. Nary a report linking the two, meaning the Braves and Flaherty.
I mean, I get it. You know, we talked about Scherzer on Friday because he's so old now at age 40, coming up in 9 games, but I still take him over Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson, and the same would go for Jack Flaherty. Braves fans have been kind of gaslit a little bit to accept that this is just the way you do your pitching. It's not. I mean, they just never have enough pitching. You're hoping the Strider comes back. Like, we love the job that Alex has done. 2021 is 4 years ago. You know, I mean, the genius thing has a statute of limitations, and he's just cheap. So let's get some pitching. You know, that's you're letting some good options fly by, Carl, and it's a little disconcerting for Braves fans.
Well, and here's the other thing. I mean, unless they know about some arms in-house that we are not familiar with, meaning guys that they are going to give a shot here at spring training and they feel really good about. I was just, you know, talking to somebody the other day about the Braves minor league system and, you know, what it was, which ultimately led us to a World Series, and what it currently is. And the perception is it's not that good. The reality is it's still pretty good. But, Mike, we're not as familiar with a lot of these guys. So I'm with you. Like, that's the thing. It's not as if you've got three legitimate arms waiting in the wings to come up and you're going to start these guys.
Right.
You know, you're playing this by a wing and a prayer right now. So, yeah, that's a little frustrating. Listen, the reasonable deals are frustrating because, again, there's no reason we could not have been in on them. The deals that, you know, when we start talking about these $100, $150, $200 million deals, those become unrealistic because the Braves just haven't done that. And so that's why when we talk about some of these names, whether you want them or not, that's not the point. The point is, here's a guy that you know what he can give you. Mm-hmm. He can give you X amount of starts, X amount of innings. Mike, that's something you can count on and hang your hat on. And we have shied away from a lot of these reasonable deals this offseason.
Right. Look, you wish that Bryce Elder lived up to the expectations after making the All-Star team. He's kind of just been that yo-yo between Gwinnett, right? You know, he doesn't have, like, lights-out velocity, so he's got to do it with guile, and he hasn't been able to do that. They kind of figured him out. Ian Anderson, this is his last chance at the rodeo. You know, A.J. Smith-Shawver, been hearing about that for, like, 2 years.
Yep.
So and you just get to the point where, like, just proven pieces at a discount, which has kind of been our M.O., to Chris's point about Jack Flaherty. So, yeah, man, just want to see, because, you know, heaven forbid, we get back in that same old scenario where, you had bats went ice cold 2 years ago. This year let's be honest, they overachieved by any metric. But still, you are wasting the core group. You're wasting this team, which you devoted all this money to lock them in. And then why are we doing pitching on the cheap? I'll never understand it.
And real quick, guys, while we're on the baseball beat here, real quick, something we will follow, a developing story, as we like to say on Dukes and Bell, MLB umpire Pat Hoberg has been fired for sharing a betting account with a friend who bet on MLB games and for deleting messages related to an MLB investigation per ESPN. There is no evidence Hoberg himself bet on the games or swayed any that he himself umped in.
Okay. That's always the concern. We talked about the Rozier situation with the NBA, and now they're looking back into his college days. The NBA did their own little review. Nothing to see here. And the feds are like, well, we're going to have our own look at this. And that's, you know, keeping the game legal. The umps, certainly, you know, that's one thing we've never had to really worry about. Like, you know, kind of like who is it? Who's the old dirty ref in the NBA? Tim Donahue.
Yes.
Tim Donahue.
Yep. They did a whole thing on him. And that is interesting because, again, when you start deleting, why are you deleting stuff? Like, that always makes me wonder, like, come on, what's that about? Either way, they'll do a proper investigation. If there's more there, he'll, you know, the more people will pay the price. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about one of the biggest pieces in the NFL who wants out as part of our Falcon Report. I want to tell you a few things that Roger Goodell is speaking about today because, one, he is the commish. Two, these are things we're all wondering about. And, Mike, he's getting a lot of questions. He is literally speaking to the media as we do this show about the officiating.
Thank you.
And so he's probably been asked, as I was checking this out, six questions over the last 30 minutes about officiating. And it started with the Chiefs. And he was asked about the idea that officials favor the Chiefs. Of course, he said, quote, it's ridiculous. This is a theory, you know, that people talk about and it takes a life of its own. But he says it reminds him of the script idea where people talk about there's a script for the NFL. And he talks about how important officiating is. Then he was asked about the evaluation of officials.
Right.
And
that's my beef.
Well, he said, look, there is a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And so then he was asked, what about more transparency? And he says, guys, we've got like 30 cameras at these games. We're trying to be as transparent as possible. Right. You guys are seeing everything. Sometimes they get it wrong. I thought it was a pretty good answer because he's not lying. He goes, you go back 15, 20, 25 years ago, there was like eight cameras and we didn't see everything.
Yeah, but now you got, you know, back then you didn't have billions of dollars being bet legally with your partners on the NFL. And there's even more impetus to get people, you know, involved in the sport and you want to get it right because now there's not just fans, but money on the line. My beef has always been, you know, what is the accountability? Why can't you spend more money in the community? What did you? Yeah, have an academy. You know, literally, have guys that come up, steal from the college ranks, find the best officials out there. Why do we skimp on what's so many times, Carl, becomes the most important part of the equation? Why isn't, you know, and again, that's for the competition committee. Why don't we have pass interference reviewable again like it was for one season? But I'm glad the media is throwing it at him because, look, that worthy catch, which wasn't a catch, that's huge on the biggest stage of the year, the game to get to the Super Bowl.
It really was. What about an 18-game season? Quote, we haven't had any formal discussions on an extension. Guys, that's got to get passed through the Players Association, even if the owners want to do it, and we know they most do. That's something that's got to be amended in the CBA, and that's not going to happen overnight. But we do know that this is something that they've talked about. As far as the NFL and the hiring practices and DEI and all this stuff that's in the news, he says, we are not in the business of being in a trend. It's about attracting the best talents. And he talked about that whole deal with the Rooney Rule, and he's getting a lot of questions on that. Listen, he's fielding all these questions. Guys, this is the norm. They do the state of the state every year before the Super Bowl, and he does it to start the week, and then everything else kind of falls into place. But, Mike, sometimes we feel like we've been left empty after these press conferences with Roger Goodell because you're like, did he really answer that?
Well, look, he gets paid a lion's share because he's really good at it. I mean, look, he draws all the fire from the NFL owners. And even when things are completely wrong, he can convince you they're okay. You know, I mean, we all know that the officiating needs to improve. But he'll tell you that, well, we've taken leaps and bounds. We're much better in this area. He's a lawyer. He's an attorney. He's really good at this. He can talk in circles and convince you the sky is red.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what he does. But, that's why, you know, anytime you have a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, in this case, the NFL is a hugely successful, now the biggest sports league in the world, you know, he's the guy that is on point. So he gets once a year his feet held to the fire, and for this they pay this man a lot of money. But at the end of the day, it's all empty. To me, it's just a lot of hot air because nothing ever gets changed. Nothing ever gets fixed. Why can't you get the officiating right? Yes, I know there's always going to be a human element, but now through replay, and maybe, Carl, if you simplified the rule book, it didn't have so many things. Like, it shouldn't take five sentences to tell you what a catch is. You know, things, they've just added this layers and layers of crap, which now we as fans just kind of go, yeah, you know, I know the ground can't cause a fumble. Sure it could. There was a time the ground caused the fumble. I watched it. It's called the 70s. But everything changed. And so now we're just tied up in this, I guess for lack of a better word, Carl, legalese when it comes to how the game is called.
We'll see if he says anything worthy that we need to relay to you guys, but addressing all things in regards to the NFL and obviously the Super Bowl and what's going on down there in New Orleans. More on Roger Goodell coming up. If you're just joining us, the Mavs trading Luka Doncic to the Lakers. Obviously, AD going to the Mavs is a big deal, and it has been over the last 48 hours. Everybody's talking about it because we've never seen anything like it. We've never seen a first-team All-NBA guy get traded for another first-team All-NBA guy, and more importantly, in the same conference. So when this all shakes out and everybody's talking about, well, who got the better of the deal? Mike, I just think the concerns are less with AD than they are with a 25-year-old Luka. And you wonder if he's going to get it. Now, we've seen guys not get it for a while, and then things click, Mike, and they get it. And when I say get it, I'm talking about being committed. It's bigger than just going out and scoring 28 a night. Being the committed player, being the leader off the floor, not being a malcontent, Mike, being the guy that gets along with people off the floor, outside of the organization. I'm talking about the front office. All these things, like you hear now about what was going on with the Mavericks, just makes you think this guy was walking around feeling untouchable until yesterday.
Right. Now, we've debated because it was always going to be a hot-button issue here, the Trey versus Luka, the Hawks making that deal, you know, with the Mavs back in the day. Still guys out there won't give you an inch on that argument. Carl brought this up on Friday when we were at Twin Peaks. Great. I think we're up at Twin Peaks. Is it Friday, by the way, this week?
We are. We're at this Friday. We are at Buckhead.
Right on, man. So come see us and catch some wisdom. But no, you are bringing out. And Monday after the Super Bowl, we'll be back. And boy, we'll have a hangover.
Kennesaw.
Good place to be for some hair of the dog. But, man, you were talking about how people just don't give Trey his just desserts or his love, whatever. I mean, yes, they're both guys. Both guys were young. Trey's a year older than Luka, but both guys dealt with a degree of immaturity. That was my beef because I had a bunch of guys, real quick, I just want to mention this, because I had a bunch of guys on the text line, yeah, Mike, you're singing a different song. Guys, do you want me to say the same thing every day I come on the radio? In my 37 years on the radio, I've learned a few things. And if I get something wrong, I will say, hey, I got that wrong. I thought Trey was immature. I thought there was no leadership. I thought he was just a guy like, hey, I did my job, 25. What do you want from me? He's changed. He's evolved. So have I. My position on him has evolved. I'm not going to say the same thing when things have changed. It makes me an idiot. So, I mean, if I lock onto something, there's certain things which I believe and I feel strongly about, but things that I think, hey, the things have changed. I now know this. Okay, change my opinion. Trey is not the prima donna that Luka is. Luka is a lazy, selfish prima donna who won't keep himself in shape, who's got more God-given skills than Trey has. He's taller, he's bigger, but he doesn't maximize it. If Steph Curry came in here when Trey did, Steph Curry would just be a guy. I mean, let's be honest. You don't have the ability to put things around Trey that this guy Luka has had already in Dallas. So I can't tell you that the field is level, a level playing field, because Trey's never had the things that Luka's had, including